Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about series that don't fit into our regular schedule, and basically, instead of calling them question and answer, we're just going to call them open lines. Because if you've got a question or if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, you can either call in or I've got the chat line open, and I'll be keeping an eye on that. And what we are really wanting to do is apply what we've been learning. And we've got a series going on. We're going to follow up on that and discuss some questions that have come up. But if you've got something you'd like to discuss on air that you think other people might benefit from, or if that's just the fastest way for us to discuss things, feel free to call in. Or I've also posted in the chat room my direct email address, and we can discuss some things then. Again, our goal is that we start to really apply what we've been discussing. Hopefully, you found that the distinction between dependent grace and what we've been learning here is regarding the practicality of it, the applicability of it, that this is something that we can do now and experience now. So hopefully that as we move forward from here, we can be looking at the effectiveness of what we believe. When it comes down to it, that's really the substance of what we believe. Is it working? Is it bringing us into a closer relationship with God? Or is it causing us to work harder? Are we judging how we're doing by how we're doing? How we're accomplishing something by something outward? Now, on one hand, we don't want to use those external standards, but we do have an expectation that knowing God and entering into His rest, in other words, giving up our own confidence and strength in our own self-life, will bring us into greater peace, love, joy, contentment, and acceptance of who we are, who God is, and who others are. So though we don't judge how we're doing according to those external standards, we do have an expectation that what we are believing, if it's true, if it's from God, will be making a change, a positive change in our lives. This is why we've been talking about these supernatural goals. And to just have a real quick review here, and if you're recently joining us, on Saturdays we've been discussing this series for quite some time, and you might need to go back quite a bit, because there's two different aspects. The first aspect is recognizing that our soul operates on the supernatural realm. And so our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, what we have a tendency to do is recognize goal setting and working towards those goals as part of the natural realm or shall we say our everyday lives, but not really embracing or even having it proposed that we can set goals and develop a process to objectively overcome and accomplish things in our soul, in the supernatural realm. So what we've been addressing are two different avenues or aspects of our soul as it relates to the supernatural realm. The first has been dealing with the negative, things that are holding us back or have soulical habits that we need to overcome. And we never want to accept that we are a victim of our past or decisions that others have made. We want to redeem that time and correct, for our present sake, present day sake, correct those mistakes and errors that were done either by us or by others. And we know that sometimes the worst burdens we carry are stupid things that we've done, mistakes we've made, and we feel like we can't take them back. Now, there are some things that can't be undone here on this earth, but we don't let that settle until God says that. There are a lot of things that we can undo, and that's both in cooperation with the supernatural and spiritual realm, but also we give up so quickly on things that we wish we had done, wish we had said, or wish we hadn't done and hadn't said, decisions we made, that if we had an opportunity, we would make them differently. And what we want to be working on is not accept that as the final say. So our pattern, our process has been to define and list those areas of regret or guilt or, you know, what if this hadn't happened, what would my life be like now? And taking that to God and cooperating with Him and narrowing that down and then objectively developing a process to actively depend and actively cooperate with God in getting ourselves free from those regrets and those habits and those coping mechanisms. And one of the reasons, for instance, so many substance abuse and even addictions occur because there's the belief that once you are involved in that, you are trapped. It will always control your life. And we don't want to buy into that. But we're not going to be blind by that either. We recognize that without God's intervention, that is often the case. But we have God's intervention. We have His activity in our lives, His desires in our lives to not just slightly, you know, assist us through things, but change us completely and renew and start over in these areas. For instance, you can be controlled by alcohol, either by having to have it or having to stay away from it. You know, if you're an alcoholic and you have to have it, and then when you consume it, you can't stop. Or if you can't even be around it, because if you're around it at all, you have to have it. So it's not the consuming of it that's the issue. It can be the alcohol itself. And we want to be able to deal with that. Now, using that example, we not only want to be free from the alcohol, but we want to be free from the things that the alcohol caused us to do. The broken relationships, perhaps lost jobs, lost time, lost dreams. You know, for stupid things we do in our past, there are consequences. But as we depend on God, a lot of those consequences can be undone. We been using the example in our forgiveness series about adultery in a marital relationship, and how it is the responsibility of the one who has been wronged to be very clear about what it will take to restore trust. In other words, if the husband has committed adultery, the wife cannot change him. She cannot prevent him from committing adultery again. But she can make decisions and set boundaries on her life. And she can, if he is willing to make an attempt to restore the relationship with her, she gets to set and is responsible for setting those requirements. This is what it will look like. This is what you need to do. And we've talked about that. We're not going to go into too much detail. But on his part, say he's willing to do that, and he goes ahead and he follows through with everything she asks to do. For instance, he has to check in with her, you know, 3 times a day while he's at work. He has to account for every minute of every day. He has to, you know, they have to go to counseling. They have to, you know, spend X amount of hours together. Instead of golfing, he has to spend time with the family, et cetera, et cetera. Those are rules she makes. And what if he decides, this marriage, I want to stay in this relationship. I want to stay with my family. And he's willing to do whatever is necessary, whatever she requires to regain her trust. And he tries to find ways then to even go above and beyond that, because he has decided for himself that that marriage is what he wants. Not because she's tried to change him and guilt him, but because that's a decision he makes. Over time, the Lord then has an opportunity to do his work in both of their lives. And through that process, they can come out having a stronger, more fulfilling relationship than they would have without the damage done by adultery. Now, he's got not only his wife to apologize to, but whoever he committed adultery with, and any kids involved, and anyone else that was touched by this. You don't go beyond that, but anyone else that was, he was touched by that. Now, because of that, he's broken friendships because he can't golf anymore, or any of these other areas where he has to make additional decisions about, you know, other effects or consequences of his actions. The point being is that he's the one now objectively making decisions for his life and not blaming her for the consequences that he's having to bear. But by cooperating with God, he can not just give up on those dreams and desires that he has. He just now has them in a different context. So, for instance, her definition of what a happy family is may change. of what a good marriage is will probably definitely change. It's not one that is unchallenged or unspoiled, but one in which two healthy adults have made that decision to commit to one another. That sometimes it's the hard things that we go through that are the most worthwhile. Having gone through them, that's where we develop trust and satisfaction. So she may learn much more valuable things about herself, about trust, about her husband, about what a relationship should be by going through the tough times. And that's true for both of them. But what they both learned is they make their decisions for themselves. Now, going back to our alcoholic, say he lost his family over it, and he lost his job, and he, you know, had to drop out of college, you know, at an early age because he just couldn't keep it all together. Well, so now he's dealing with that alcohol addiction, and through the Lord, he's overcome it. He's not stuck where he's at. He does not accept, okay, I have a bad education, I have a poor education, or not the education I wanted. I've lost my family and I've lost my kids. I've lost my future, and I'll never be able to overcome it. Instead, he can say, okay, this is why I was going to college. How do I get there? You know, say he wanted to be an architect. He can either go back to school or he can find something about that field that was enticing to him and desirable and find another way to fulfill it. And he can even, if as a possibility, try to restore his relationship with his family and do what he can, recognizing that they have the right to make their own decisions for their own lives, that he can't change them. But he can be satisfied that he has made specific and determined attempts. And if that doesn't work out, deciding, okay, I want to have a relationship with someone. This is what it would look like. This is what I have to offer. This is what I'm looking for in a life partner. You know, and that's part of it, is so often we look at the goals we have in terms of such broad strokes. You know, if you're in church, you marry another Christian, you have kids, and you stay in that church, and, you know, maybe get involved in ministry, and you go, you know, while you're working, and you're always successful, and you get promotions, and you get a bigger house, and there's a defined way, you know, and you get more involved in the community and in the church, and that's pretty much the accepted path. And then if there's an interruption anywhere in that, we don't know what to do. Then everything's fallen apart. And what God really often wants to do is not question, not blame, not be a victim, not condemn others for not being able to achieve that dream. Instead, he wants us to look at the dream itself. Look at those expectations. Were they from him? Or were they just in our lives? Were they caught from our parents, from those around us? And was this perhaps a way of God shaking us to let us know that these expectations, it's not that they were a dream that he wants us to go after, is that there was no substance in them to begin with. That was never his intent for you. So we start with questioning what we're thinking. And we've talked so many times about what are the scripts going on in your mind? What are you thinking? What are other people saying? And it's okay to question. That's the whole point, is what is truth, what is from God, will stand up to all your questioning, to all your doubts, to all your fears, and putting them out on the table, putting them out into the air. You can stand back and go, you know, that's not as big as I thought. I guess that's not that important after all. Or, oh, I can do that. Or, I need to spend more time thinking about this. What do I want? If I don't want this, or if marriage isn't this, what is it? And when we start thinking in terms of even changing our terms, instead of thinking of someone, you know, as a spouse or someone you're going to get married to, if we really did start thinking of as a life partner, someone you're going to go through life with, good times, bad, and, you know, really investing in your future, your joint future. So many times there's so much more effort being put into the wedding than into the relationship, into the marriage. And even some of these huge weddings that you hear about last couple years at that, which is sometimes not even as long as the marriage took to plan. The whole point being is that we don't want to be a victim of our past choices. So that's where we've been working, is starting with what would it look like if those choices, if I hadn't made those bad decisions, or others hadn't have made those bad decisions. And then, since we can't change others, what do we need to change in ourselves? And again, I won't go into too much detail, but that's what we mean by negative situations. The negative approach to our soul setting supernatural or soulical goals is, what do we need to overcome in our past in order to be free to embrace our future? And then on the positive side, we've talked about supernatural goals in the terms of recognizing that our soul has skills and characteristics that can be developed, and that God puts desires in our hearts and entices us to depend on Him, because we are intrigued by things in the supernatural realm. We all have soulical senses, supernatural senses. And one of the ways God draws us to Him is through those. And rather than working them out on our own, He wants us to allow Him to teach us supernatural skills and activities. So we talked about the gifts of the so-called gifts of the Spirit, which are really, again, just characteristics of the Spirit that you have. Everyone, just as we all have a mind, will, and emotions, the way God put your mind and your will and your emotions together is different than the way He put my mind and will and emotions together. That's called our temperament. And though we can talk about it in general terms and as far as our temperament and categorizing them, yours is unique, and only you and God really can understand it. In the same way, God gave you supernatural senses, intuition, cognition, interpretation, aspects of awareness of what's going on in the supernatural realm. And we'll be getting into that in another series, so we're not going to spend too much time there. But the point being that the homework we've already done has been to list and bring out on the table areas that we want to develop in a positive sense. This is what we're intrigued by. And we've talked consistently about the intriguing nature of time. So just to give you a couple of examples, some really want to learn how to heal. Pray for someone and have them healed. Some want to, you know, just experience the angelic and have, you know, more angelic experiences. And others, you know, again, the time thing. Lord, I want to be able to, you know, travel in time. That sounds like it's a cool thing. And the point being is that that desire draws us. You know, and we've written that list down and we've gone through it with God and allowed Him to choose several that we want to focus on. And we tried applying both of those fields through the holidays. So recently, the recent archived programs are going to deal with taking advantage of the stressful times of the holidays to focus on or pay attention to both of those areas. But now what I want you to do is add a time element. And this can be kind of challenging because a lot of times we let ourselves off the hook. But for both, for overcoming the negative and for developing the positive skills, the things that the Lord has you working on, set with Him by asking Him, set a time frame. Set a time frame of when you want to have a certain thing accomplished. And those are the two things you're going to want to, that's your homework for next week, is for those areas where each one, where you're accomplishing, where you're overcoming something from your past. You're going to say, okay, Lord, I want to have dealt with this anger issue in 6 months. And this is how I will know. You know, say in 6 months we're having a family reunion. And I want to have it dealt with by then. This is what I want to have accomplished, and this is when. How does that sound to you, God? And let Him speak to you. Is that good with you? And you may need to break it down to two separate things. Is 6 months a good time frame? Is anger what you want me to be the focusing on? And then, you know, you're already working towards it. What do I need to do? Likewise with developing new skills. Say you want to be working on the healing. You know, Lord, in the next 6 months, I want to have prayed for 3 people that have gotten healed. I know, it's kind of scary, isn't it? You're actually going to be doing things. You're actually going to be keeping track. You're actually going to be putting some time limits. And a lot of times doing that is what makes things really real. But if you will be taking this up next Saturday, so have fun with your homework. And if you've got any questions, you know how to get in touch with me, Diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll try to help you along. So in the meantime, welcome. Thank you for tuning in to Prepare Radio, and we'll be getting back together again on Monday at 7:30. So have a great weekend.